Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. You can call us toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. And we're going to mention a couple of things yet tonight. But we're going to have a word of prayer first, so let's go ahead and do that right now. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We do pray you would bless the program, use it for your glory. Help us, Lord, to lift up and glorify Christ in all that we do. Help us to point people to Christ that are searching. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you and bless the program for your glory tonight. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you this evening. And it was a really pretty nice day today, a little warmer than it has been, but we've had a really nice stretch of weather, and it was pleasant when I arrived at the studio here tonight. I believe it was, I believe it was 72 degrees on my car thermometer when I pulled into the parking lot here at the station here this evening, and so very pleasant overall. But we're looking forward to a good week this week, maybe dry out a little bit. Had a little rain last night, we're hoping for some good weather this coming week because we are going to be out at the Summit County Fair this week. And the Summit County Fair, of course, starts Tuesday. It's down in Talmadge, Ohio, east-northeast of Akron. Right down just off from State Route 91. If you're in the area and you're out at the Summit County Fair, it runs Tuesday through Sunday. And you can find out all that information online. Just Google the Summit County Fair. Our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, is having a booth there. We've had one there for the past 5-6 years at least, I believe. And we are going to be there. We're located right where you come into the fairgrounds. There's a series of commercial spaces as you come in the main entrance to the fairgrounds, and we would be on your right. We're usually somewhere about the middle, and we're looking forward to being there. And if we've been a blessing to you and you see our table there, our booth there, why don't you stop by and say hello? We'd love to meet you. I'll be there most of the times. However, on Friday night, I won't be there because I have to go back up to our Friday night Bible study, and we'll have some more information on our church services and times, but we have a Bible study every Friday night from 7 till 9, and we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road, and then, of course, I will not be there on Sunday because, well, I'm the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, so I have to be out there for that. On Sunday, we have the regular church services. We've got a nursing home service, and so I need to be there for those things. And so other people will be manning the booth at the fairgrounds. But if you're out there on Sunday, stop by and let people know that you listen to the program as well. I'm going to mention on Friday, we have our Friday program, 1:30 until 2 o'clock. Pastor John Lutz of the North Coast Baptist Church is going to be sitting in the studio here Friday afternoon. Now, if you're familiar with him, he has the program For the Cause of Christ that airs at 1 o'clock. It's generally a live program, 1 o'clock until 1:30, just before our Friday afternoon program. And he will be, so you can join him at 1 o'clock and then stay at 1:30 with him. And I will be calling in from the Summit County Fair. And I will be talking from there. And we'll be talking about the fair, talking about some different things. And so I hope you'll tune in for that. And then, of course, like I said, if you are out and about, We'd love to have you visit us at our booth at Summit County Fair. If you can't visit us there, we'd love to have you visit at our home church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can find out information on a number of these things at our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Encourage you to check those things out. All right. And, of course, not only information about our church there, but there's past radio programs there. There are a number of other things that are available there, some booklets and some articles and different things. You find all at livewithpastoral.com, as well as links to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. All right, well, we're going to get into our program here this evening. Again, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. We'll be with you until midnight. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we're going to Ed tonight as our first caller. Ed, welcome to the program this evening.
Hi, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening. Welcome.
I look forward to stopping out at the Summit County Fair.
Yes.
Sometime this week.
Yeah, it's always kind of fun. I'm attached to it because I used to go there when I was a teenager in 4-H. I showed rabbits and goats and sheep and different things out there. So, and a number of my other, I had a brother and a sister all who were involved. So kind of has a special place for me. I'm glad we're able to be out there.
Oh, yeah. Of course, we're serving the shepherd. For all of us sheep, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
I have a friend who's Muslim, and I'm witnessing to him on and off, mostly friendly banter. And he, I said, "Have you asked him? Have you ever heard of the story of Doubting Thomas?"
Mm-hmm.
That? Oh, one of the disciples for Jesus. Jesus had 12 disciples. He was the one who, when the other disciples told him they had seen Jesus after the resurrection alive, he said, "I won't believe it unless I can stick my finger in the wounds."
Right.
And then I read him a little piece from John, and it's translated in Arabic and English both ways. About Doubting Thomas, he says, "Is that true?" So it piqued his interest, but is that true? So truth might be an interesting thing to them.
Yeah, well, and I was going to say, too, yeah, and that's in John chapter 20, I believe, where it talks about Jesus after the resurrection and Thomas doubting, hence the term Doubting Thomas. But, you know, it is interesting, the various things that are in the Bible. Some things might not get somebody's attention, you know, somebody who's a Muslim perhaps, but it's interesting that this story did get his attention.
Yes. So he says, "Is that true?"
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, if truth is important, why does he maintain it? But our Quran says Jesus didn't die on a cross. It was an imposter who took his place.
Right.
Well, that doesn't make sense because Jesus said things like in John, "I am the good shepherd," 10:11. "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep."
Right.
And then later on he says, John 12:32, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto myself." Well, if it's someone else lifted up instead of him, he's not going to be drawing anybody to himself.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't make sense.
Well, and also, you know, when the Bible talks about baptism, and we've been talking about that at church. When we look at what baptism is, we understand that it's a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. In fact, it's in, let's see here, Romans chapter 6. Let me turn over there real quick, because you know, the word that we get baptized or baptism from, baptizo, when we look at the word, it means to be immersed and fully submerged and then immersed. And, of course, that's what they practiced there in the first century, the early Christians. And that's, of course, what Baptists have practiced since the first century all the way down to the present day. Baptists are still known for the immersion, submersion, and emersion. Romans chapter 6 says, verse number 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And then he says this in verse 5, for if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, you know, not with an impostor, but with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And it goes on talking about the death of Christ at length here in Romans chapter 6. And you know, of course, when we put our faith in Christ as our Savior, as far as God's concerned, it's as if we had been there on the cross when Jesus was there, when he died. It's as if we died with him. And when he was buried, it's as if we were buried with him. And when he rose from the dead, it's as if we rose from the dead with him. And so, yeah, how you can get around that and say Jesus didn't die is, it's not biblical, is it?
Right, and then later on, John 16, verse 19, Jesus says to his disciples, are you asking a question about what I meant by saying, in a little while you won't see me and then you will see me?
Mm-hmm.
I guess that would be referring to before and after the resurrection, right?
Right, right.
Yeah. So he's referring to it right then, ahead of time, what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And later on in John 18, when Peter was defending Jesus and took a sword and cut off the high servant priest, the servant of the priest, which was Malchus, cut his right ear off,
mm-hmm.
Jesus said, put away your sword back in his sheath. Shall I not drink from the cup the Father has given me? I think he said, don't deny what I'm supposed to do going up on the cross.
Right, right, exactly. And you know, also, here's John, you were quoting from the Gospel of John and referring to the Gospel of John. John later received a revelation from Jesus Christ on the Isle of Patmos, and that's the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, last book of the New Testament. And in the book of the Revelation, in chapter 1, in verse 5, talking about Jesus, it says this, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. And then it says this, and the first begotten of the dead. Well, that'd be kind of hard to be the first begotten of the dead if he hadn't died. And then Paul phrases it this way in his letter to the Colossians, Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, talking about Christ. And he, meaning Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And there's that statement again. He's the first begotten of the dead. He's the firstborn from the dead because he's the first one to die and be resurrected. And to take that away, you take away the whole ministry, the whole purpose for Jesus Christ coming into the world, because he came here specifically to die, to pay for our sins,
right?
But not, of course, to stay dead, but to be resurrected victorious over sin and death. And it's this thing, the devil does not like the resurrection of Christ. He doesn't like people to know that he defeated death.
Right. So. I had a question, one final one. I got a friend who's an outdoor street preacher evangelist.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen him on occasion, and he interacts with Muslims.
Right.
He says when he's interacted with Muslims, he said they are commanded to read the prophets.
Yes.
Including Moses, David, maybe Solomon, and possibly they're supposed to read the Injil. Do I have that right, those four items?
Yeah, Moses and David. Because, interesting, the Druze are an offshoot of Shiite Muslim Islam, and they revere, I've been told, they revere, you know, the writings of David and Solomon, David's son. So, yeah,
Are they supposed to read the
Injil? I'm sorry?
Are they supposed to read the Injil, which I guess is a portion of the New Testament or something?
I don't know for sure on that, so I can't really tell you there. But they did refer to the Jews and Christians as people of the book. So there was a reverence for the Bible. But, of course, you know, that was initially when Muhammad was starting out and they were less powerful and fewer in number. They tried to live and coexist with the Jews and then also with Christians because they didn't have the power and the might that they had later on. And so they endeavored to live peaceably with them. But then, of course, they claimed that the Bible was corrupted and that the Quran supersedes the Bible, which, of course, gives us a common theme in cult and cultish theology. The cultish theology is that later things supersede. The Muslims use the term abrogate, the idea that verses are abrogated, meaning done away with. The Mormons say that if you have a conflict between the Bible and the Book of Mormon, you go with the Book of Mormon because it was given later. And if you have a conflict between the Book of Mormon and the Pearl of Great Price, you go with the Pearl of Great Price because it was given later. You look at these different things, and it's their way of getting around the inconsistencies and the contradictions. You just go by what was ever written or said later by the supposed prophet or spokesperson for God, and that's why some churches will abrogate, to co-opt the Muslim word, things in the Bible by the pronouncements of their leaders. So we have to be on guard for that.
Is a mark of a biblical prophet is that they cannot lie?
Yes. And there's a couple of places that we look when we see that. One is in Isaiah, just by virtue of establishing a principle here, but it also goes back in the law in Deuteronomy, and I'm trying to turn over here to Isaiah chapter number 8, I believe is where I want to go. I'm trying to get my pictures. I keep going back too far. I don't want to be in Ecclesiastes. I want Isaiah. All right, let me get turned over here. In Isaiah chapter number 8, in verse 19 and 20, it says, "And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead?" And then he says this in verse 20, "To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." And that's interesting because, remember, Paul commended the believers, the people in Berea. He said they were nobler than those in Thessalonica. He said in that they searched the scriptures daily. They Paul said something, and he made claims that Jesus was the Messiah, that he fulfilled the prophecies in the Old Testament. And they didn't just accept it because he said it. They went to the law and to the testimony, and they found that he spoke according to that word, and then they accepted what he said, but only because it agreed with the scripture. So rather than the cultish philosophy of something disagrees with scripture, you reject scripture for the later writing or the later pronouncement. The Bible instead says, go to what was written earlier. And if it doesn't agree with that, you reject the latest writing or pronouncement. Deuteronomy chapter 13 Moses wrote here, and one thing he says here in Deuteronomy 13, this is another test. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams that giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. So what he's saying here in Isaiah 13, the first three verses, is even if it does come to pass, if he's telling you to follow somebody other than the God of the Bible, he's to be rejected, because he's a false prophet. The devil can make certain things come to pass and try to get people to believe things. But here's the other one too. I'm going to find it over here, hopefully, in Deuteronomy chapter 18, we have a number of people here that he warns about, diviners, charmers, consulters with familiar spirits, necromancers, and such not. And here we are as he come down to the end of the prophet, the end of the chapter. Moses writes in Deuteronomy chapter 19, here in verse 21, and if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. And that's pretty cut and dried there. You know, when Harold Camping a few years back had one of his false prophecies, I say one of because he did it several times, he falsely prophesied the date of Christ's return. You know, the last one was pretty spectacular, where he had billboards all over the country, buses traveling around with his prophecy on his false prophecy on the side. And people were caught up in it. Some people sold their things and got ready because they were certain that at 6 p.m. In each time zone, they would be caught up to be with the Lord. And I remember one poor fellow standing in Times Square, people mocking him, and he stood there supremely smug and absolutely certain that at 6 p.m. he was going to disappear because God was going to call him up, and all those people would be left dumbfounded. And when 6 p.m. came, he's staring at his watch. 6 p.m. passed, and he's looking at his watch, and then he looks so disappointed and so confused, and he's like, I don't understand. Well, he didn't understand the scripture, because if he read Deuteronomy chapter 18, he would have known that Harold Camping was a false prophet previously, because he had previously predicted the return of Christ, and previously was wrong, it did not come to pass. He shouldn't have been afraid of him. He shouldn't have listened to him. And same problem with a lot of these different cults and things. The cult leaders generally failed prophets, telling people to follow after something other than the God of the Bible, telling things that contradict what's written in the scripture. And those are three ways. Remember, God said out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, those are three ways that you can know whether or not somebody's a true prophet. So,
I guess some of Jesus' own contemporaries considered him to be a true prophet, because they said he could speak only truthful stuff.
Right, and they were trying to find ways and accuse him of not fulfilling the prophecies that he claimed to fulfill. Remember, one time they said they accused him of having a devil. Another time they said, we're not essentially the children of fornication like you are. They were implying that Mary had an illicit relationship before she was married, and that Jesus was born as an illegitimate child. And yeah, they had a lot of ways that they tried to imply that he did not match the Old Testament prophecies, but over and over and over, no matter how many times they tried to prove otherwise, instead it was proved that he did match the Old Testament prophecies. So,
well, since the Muslims consider Jesus to be a prophet, they should take the things he said about his own death, burial, resurrection to be truthful, because he's a word of a true prophet.
Right. Well, remember he said that as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, he'd be 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth, meaning he would die and be dead, and in the tomb his body would be buried for 3 days and three nights. And then he said he would rise again, and he did. Now, if they could prove that that didn't happen, they might have something. But instead, what they're doing is they're failing in all the tests that the Bible gives for a true prophet. They're wanting us to follow after Allah, the moon god, which is not the god of the Bible. They're wanting us to follow somebody who's got failed prophecies. They're wanting us to follow somebody that makes claims that are contrary to what's in the scriptures. So, again, though, they had to convince people to reject what the Bible says and listen to them instead. So,
okay. Well, I guess that's all I've got.
All right, Ed. Why, thank you. That was a lot that you had for us, a lot to consider there. And to keep praying for your Muslim friend. I'm convinced sometimes the best way to reach Muslims is not just hitting them with, thus saith the Lord, here's what the Bible says, and this is contrasted with what the Quran says. But I think a lot of times the best way to reach Muslims is to do exactly what you're doing. Be a friend to them, if it's a coworker, a neighbor, or some other relationship there that you can cultivate, and be a friend, and try to sow a little gospel seed when you get the chance. A little Bible truth here, a little Bible truth there, and then hold them up before God in prayer and trust that the Holy Spirit of God is going to work in their hearts and cause that little gospel seed to germinate and to be able to grow in them to where they'll understand the gospel message and they'll put their faith in the true Savior. So thanks, Ed. Appreciate that.
Okay.
All right. God bless. And you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We're coming up on a break here, and we are going to, like I said, take a short break. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and that'll get you on the air with us if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. I know we got a break coming up here in just a minute or two. I'm not sure how long, but almost what? Oh, we're 2 minutes. I thought we were like almost less than a minute. All right. Well, we got a little bit longer than what I anticipated there. I was getting ready to listen for the music. But at any rate, we'll go ahead and get Nancy on here then, since we've got a couple minutes yet. And Nancy, welcome to the program here tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. I was very interested in you talking about working at the fair, but that you would be at the Bible study Friday evening. So I was just praising the Lord about that. And I was very interested in Ed talking about witnessing to a Muslim. I think it was a Muslim man and his little about a five-year-old daughter that I had a chance to talk to at the park yesterday. I like to talk to strangers in the park and witness to them. He was trying to engage me in his photography service. He was handing me a card, and I said, well, I take pictures all the time. Let me take a picture of you and your daughter. Mm-hmm. And so he's very cooperative about that with his phone. And then I just came right out and asked him, are you a Christian? And mm-hmm. he said, no, but he looked like a Muslim.
Uh-huh.
I was just very interested in, what... Ed said he's witnessing, sharing, being a friend to somebody he knew. But so I just said, I just explained the gospel. I said, well, let me tell you what the Bible says, the way to get to heaven. And I quoted John 14:6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes. And what was so interesting was he's very tolerant. And
uh-huh.
his daughter was looking at me He was so interested.
Hey, Nancy, can you hold for a few minutes here?
Sure.
We got a break coming up in just less than 10 seconds, and we'll pick that up on the other side of the break. Stay tuned. We got another half hour to go.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. I also want to mention you can check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you've been trying to watch us on YouTube tonight, we had all our links over there, and my computer icon says I'm online, but my computer icon, when you click on it, says not only am I online, I'm not online. Isn't that amazing? You know, I'm online and I'm not online. And realized during the break that the not online is probably more accurate than the online, because when we click go live on YouTube half an hour ago, it's just been spinning trying to go live and not going live because not been online. So I don't know what problem with the internet is tonight. Whatever the case is, we're not online, even though my computer says I'm online. And so I apologize if you're trying to find us on YouTube. YouTube's one of those things that's kind of like, you know, sometimes I think it's a lot more trouble than what it's worth, but we do have some people that like to watch online. But you can always find us if you have trouble listening to us on the air on AM 1220, The Word. You can always go to the radio program's webpage at whkwradio.com. That's whkwradio.com, and click on the Listen Live button there. And another advantage going to the WHKWradio.com website is you can also find podcasts of the program there, in addition to finding them on our own webpage at livewithpastoral.com. So encourage you to check out those sites. Well, we're going to get back to our program here. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. And we were talking with Nancy, and the break came up, so I had to break away from Nancy. And Nancy, are you still with us here?
Oh, yes, I am, Pastor Al. Thank
All right. You. you were talking before the break about meeting a Muslim man in the park and his daughter,
yes.
And you took their picture, I believe, and then you were sharing a short witness with them, and so pick it up from there.
Yes. Yes, he initiated the conversation. He was trying to get me to buy his or take his card because he had a photographic service. But I always look upon people like that as potential witnessing, opportunity. And so, you know, I took a picture with his phone, you know, of him and his daughter. And then, you know, I just said, I think it's wonderful because I saw him helping his daughter do exercises along these little gadgets that they have along the park, you know.
Right.
And then I decided, well, I don't think I have much time with him. I better get right to it. So I said, are you a Christian? And he said, no. And, you know, I thought it was very refreshing to me because I like to talk to various people at the pool and the park and wherever I am. I would say 95% of the people say that they are Christians. But then when you question them, you know, they say some, well, I believe in the golden rule, or I'm a Catholic, and they give some very, you know, very, you know, simplistic view of, and I question a person,
and
I just don't think, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, anyhow, I was going to say my own wife, when she was young, before she got saved, if you'd have asked her she was a Christian, she says, I would have said yes, because I wasn't Jewish, wasn't an atheist, so I must be Christian.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
And I was talking to somebody last week who said they like to distinguish between Christians and believers, because they were saying much like what you said. Oh, all kinds of people say they're a Christian, but when you really confront them on the gospel message, you find out they're not believers.
Oh, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
But I get excited when somebody says they're not a Christian, because I said this is someone that knows that they're not a Christian. And so then I can share some gospel message, and then they might listen to me. But what was so interesting when I was witnessing to him and sharing John 14:6, and, you know, emphasizing the Bible as the absolute source. And he was very tolerant of me doing this. But you know who was really listening, I think, more than him, was his daughter. She was looking right up at me, and like she never heard this before.
I mean,
the expression on her face, so I just praise the Lord for this opportunity to witness to them.
How old would you say she is?
I would say she's only about 5 or 6.
Okay.
She's very, very bright.
So you may have been able to set some seeds, plant some seeds in there.
Yeah, I pray that I would. I'll pray about that. His name was the father's name is Joseph. And now my question or comments tonight, I just wanted to quote a couple of Bible verses. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and then Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and have dominion over the fish of the sea. And then John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him, not anything made that was made. And then to jump over to 1 John 5:7, and there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one.
Right.
Now, it seems a little contradictory, but I know it's not. 1 John 1:1 and Genesis 1:1 says God created the heaven and the earth, and then 1 John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and Word was God. So it seems like Jesus created everything in John, but in Genesis it looks like God did. But then when you look at 1 John 5:7, these three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess both God and Jesus created everything. I'm just a little bit confused about this.
Yeah, look over in Hebrews chapter 1, and the answer to your question is right there in Hebrews chapter 1. Okay.
Oh, okay.
It says this. It starts out in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Notice the phrase here, by whom also he made the worlds. You follow what he's saying here? This is God made the worlds by his Son. So we're talking here, and it'll become apparent as we go through this, that God is a reference to God the Father, and then the Son, of course, is Jesus Christ, by whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also God made the worlds, who, meaning Jesus the Son, being the brightness of his, God's glory, and the express image of his, meaning God's person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, that's God's power, when he, Jesus, by himself, purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And then he says this, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now, first off, this is talking about the creation and about how God, through the Son, made these things. God the Father.
What verse? What chapter and verse?
This is Hebrews chapter 1. I started in verse number 1.
Uh-huh.
And this is showing us that God created the heaven and the earth. But the way that it happened is God the Father devised the plan, and God the Son carried it out. And it says it right there. By whom also he made the worlds. But notice then, you say, well, then, didn't like some like say the Jehovah's Witnesses would say, well, God the Father created Jesus. They believe he's Michael the Archangel, which the Bible never says it, but they say, well, the Bible never says he's God. You just infer it. And I ask them every once in a while, well, where does it say he's Michael the Archangel? They say, well, it really doesn't. You sort of have to infer it. But notice what he says here in Hebrews chapter 1. After talking about how God created the heaven and the earth or through Jesus, the Son, then he says in verse 5, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And of course, Jehovah's Witnesses and others would say, see, Jesus is a created being. But we know, and I referred to this when talking with Ed earlier, Jesus is referred to in Colossians chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 1 as the firstborn of the dead, the first begotten of the dead. And that's what he's talking about here. He said, this day have I begotten thee, and that's talking about the resurrection, not Jesus being created. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, verse 6, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, he saith, now notice this, God saying, let all the angels of God worship him, meaning Jesus. Now, remember the first of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other God before me?
Yeah.
And then the next commandment where it's talking about not bowing down, not to use, have no gods before him. We're not to use God's name in vain. We're not to bow down to graven images. And here, God is saying, worship Jesus, worship the Son. He continues, verse 7, and of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But, verse 8, but unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. God calls the Son God in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. Those people that say Jesus is never called God in the scriptures apparently don't have Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8 in the Bible, because right here it's in black and white, but under the sun, he, meaning God, saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And then, if that's not enough, he continues on, verse 9, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee, meaning Jesus, with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And of course, that's talking about the exaltation of Christ after the death, burial, and resurrection. And then he says in verse 10, and thou, Lord, that's with a capital L. God is saying to Jesus, he's calling Jesus Lord.
Wow.
So in verse 8, God calls Jesus God, and in verse 10, God calls Jesus Lord. Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands.
Yeah.
So, so there is the answer to your question. I got a couple more callers waiting for us, but hopefully that helped you out there.
Oh, thank you very, very much. That was excellent.
Well, that's an exciting passage, and it's a good passage to study what the Bible says about God and the divinity of Christ in Hebrews chapter 1. So thanks for that call tonight, Nancy.
Thank you. Thank
appreciate
you so
that.
Much, Pastor.
Appreciate that. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Tom waiting. And Tom, welcome to the program tonight.
Good, Pastor Al. How are you doing?
Good evening. How have you been?
Well, I think the danger of what you're just talking about is the idea that sometimes people fall into the pitfall of, trying to separate and lessen the authority of the Trinity when we have to remember what he told the Jewish people, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one.
Right.
So, you know, it's a mystery, and I don't think anybody can adequately explain it. I really don't. I think that it's just one of those things we take by faith, that there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and they all work in one accord as one God.
And remember, too, in Genesis chapter 1, he said, let us make man after our image. And then in Genesis 2, you see the creation of Adam. He took the dust of the earth. He formed his body.
Yeah.
He breathed into his nostrils. There's the spirit. And then he became a living soul. So God created Adam as a triune being himself.
Yeah, that's where you see the pitfall with, like, the the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, and they lessen the deity of Christ.
Right. They can't understand it, so they say that it's not true.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I think as Christians, I know I've listened to some pretty good Bible teachers over the years and studied things myself, and it's like, I think there's just some mysteries in the Bible we're not going to understand fully, and I don't think God expects us to, but he does expect us to believe his word and to take it by faith.
Oh, absolutely. And also, of course, he expects us to take time studying the scriptures and trying to search things out.
Right.
A verse that's kind of a favorite of mine is Proverbs 25:2, where it says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter.
That's right, exactly, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we have to be diligent in the word. You know, and that's part of following Christ, and that's where a lot of people stumble and think themselves Christians, but they don't follow the Lord. And so you can believe all you want, but without doing and following and doing what God says, Jesus always called disciples, and he said, then follow me.
Right.
So it's not a matter of just believe on me and I'll catch you later. No, he said, follow me. Leave what you're doing and follow me. So I think that's, as human beings, we just have to, our faith, it rests on faith. It rests on faith through the grace of God. But that's not why I called. But it was just an interesting topic that Nancy brought up, and I just thought I'd put my 5 cents in. But the question I have is in Revelation.
Oops.
No specific.
Whacking my microphone. I'm sorry about that.
The question I have is going to be more so based in Revelation.
Yes.
And no specific verse implied. However, clear up an understanding here for me.
Mm-hmm.
Is the Antichrist revealed at the mid-trib? I take the position and hold with you, as do a lot of Christians, that there's going to be a pre-tribulation rapture with it. The true
right.
believers, the Church of Christ, are going to be called out of this world just prior to the onset of the tribulation. However, is the Antichrist revealed right at the beginning following the rapture, or is he revealed at the 3.5-year point?
I believe that he's revealed very early on at the beginning. In fact, I believe that the revelation of the Antichrist is the beginning of the tribulation, is a sign of the beginning of the tribulation, not the catching away of the believers.
Okay, so he's going to bring peace then.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to pretend to bring peace at the beginning then.
Correct.
Right?
And I'll give you
3.5 years, he's going to break the peace treaty. And,
correct.
Right.
Yeah, I'll give you two reasons for that. One reason is Daniel's prophecy of the 70 weeks of years.
Are you talking in Daniel 7?
Daniel chapter 9.
Oh, 9, okay.
And he says in Daniel chapter 9, and verse 26, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but that not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and under the war of desolations are determined. That says in verse 27, and he, talking about the prince of the people that come, that destroy the city, which was the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans in the year 70 A.D., it says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause a sacrifice and oblation to cease. So somebody that understands Daniel's prophecy would see the confirmation, and they would see that this is the Antichrist.
Okay.
Another clue, of course, is Revelation chapter 6, when the seven sealed book is being opened. And the first seal that's opened, he says in Revelation 6, verse 2, I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. This is not Christ. This is the Antichrist coming, bringing a form of peace to the world. So those are two things that indicate that he'll be revealed at the beginning of the tribulation. But not everybody's going to see that or catch that. So there is another thing that'll be blatantly obvious to a lot of people, and that's in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, where it talks about the revelation of the Antichrist. And it says in Revelation, I'm sorry, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And that's at the midpoint of the tribulation, when the mark of the beast is instituted. He declares himself to be God, and people have to take that mark to buy or to sell under penalty of death.
So that's
and it's a form of, and they'll also worship him as God.
So that's at the midpoint.
Yeah, Revelation chapter 13 talks about that.
We're hearing a lot of foolishness today about the shot and being the mark and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how can the mark be when the Antichrist isn't even revealed yet?
Yeah.
How can we be
taking
the mark?
But these things are getting people set up
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
Yeah,
listen,
but you're right.
You. Yeah, thanks so much. And, hey, listen, have a good time at the fair, and I hope that I'll be praying that maybe you get a few folks converted out there.
Amen. Well, thank you, Tom. Appreciate that. God bless.
Okay.
Thank you. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We got just a couple minutes. We're going to squeeze Terry in here right at the end. Terry, welcome. Thanks for waiting.
Yep. Good evening, Pastor Al.
Good evening. Just got a couple of minutes left, so we thought I'd get you on here before we run out of time.
Well, I was going to bring up, but we'll talk about this another time, about warning against false teachers that talks about taught in 1 Timothy.
Right, right.
But something came to my attention. Somebody said that we are the temple of God.
Yeah, Paul told that to the Corinthians. Know ye not that you're the temple of God? You know, we're the temple. The Spirit of God dwells in us. And right. I'm trying to hurry here because we're running out of time. But yeah, that is true in that sense. But there will be a physical building temple that'll be rebuilt. And it'll be there during the tribulation period.
Well, one thing came to me is that the New International Version of that says that know you not that you're the no that that the temple of God lives as well as in your midst. That's what it said.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons they don't use the New International Version, because it really. It tears up portions of the scripture. Yeah, the one verse here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. And that's pretty clear that our body, not that he's in the midst of us, but he's in us as a believer. The Holy Spirit of God is in us, and we know, of course, from elsewhere in the Scriptures that he's in us, sealing us until the day of redemption. Let's see, there's another one.
The New International Version is one of the worst Bible, and it's the most popular Bible. Right?
Oh, yeah, and there's a number of problems with it, of course, and amongst the problems, of course, is that it eliminates huge chunks of the Bible. There's a lot of things missing. Another thing too is that it takes longer passages. I was preaching today in Titus chapter 1, and the first four verses or so are all one verse, and the NIV and other modern versions break those verses up into smaller sentences. But they weren't that way in the original Greek or the original Hebrew. They were long sentences for a reason. And when you break up long sentences, you lose the meaning. You cannot get the full meaning by breaking up the long sentences. And so that's a problem with the modern version. That's why I stick with the King James, use the King James, recommend the King James, preach and teach from the King James, because it's God's word preserved in the English language. And it preserves the sense of the scripture in a way that none of the modern versions do. Well, we're out of time. I want to thank you for listening. God bless. Have a great week. Stop by the Summit County Fair and visit us.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com.